Ballon d'Or. We will be talking about that with our next guest here on World Football Daily, although there's plenty to get through as well in terms of all things La Liga football. I'm delighted to say, after a busy week of Copa del Rey and La Liga getting back underway last weekend, that we are joined by our first Spanish football guest of 2014. And what a great guy to have joining us. He is a man with an Irish tone to his Spanish football knowledge, and as somebody who we love having on here on World Football Daily, joining us here to talk all things La Liga, Messi's return, and of course the big game coming up this weekend between Atletico Madrid and Barca. The one, the only, Joseph Sexton, joining us here on WFD. Joseph, mate, a pleasure to have you back. Hope you had an enjoyable Christmas break and New Year, and yeah, pleasure to have you back here on World Football Daily, mate. How you doing?
And Happy New Year. It's great to be back on, guys.
It's been a nice off-season, I'd say, for you, but we're back and in full swing straight away. And last night, it was almost... It wasn't about the Copa del Rey last night, it seemed. It seemed about just waiting for Messi to return for Barca. How big is it to just have him back after being out since about mid-November?
It's absolutely massive. I suppose the positive thing is that the team has been motoring on well without him, and, you know, players such as Cesc, such as Pedro, such as Alexis have all stepped up in his absence. You know, they've been without Neymar as well. But you can't really put a figure on the amount that Messi brings to this side. You could see from the 55th minute, once he started warming up last night, the crowd were just shouting Messi, Messi. And I suppose there'd been a hope that he was going to come back in the league game against Elche at the weekend, but I think Tata Martino's played this just right. He gave Neymar a run out that day, just, you know, keep him ticking over. And, well, it was quite the run out Messi got last night then with the two goals.
I was going to say, it was an incredible kind of on comes Messi. And, I mean, you could have almost have written it before it even took place that he'd get on the goal sheet and two in a matter of minutes. It must be nice to see him also back, but not only that, but straight back into the mix, looking almost like his old self.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing was, when he came on at first, he took two or three bad touches, I think, gave the ball away, looked a bit, as you would expect, perhaps a bit off, not on the same wavelength as his teammates. It was a little bit static, maybe not looking, you know, not sure where to run. But, I mean, that all washed away once he scored the first goal. You know, he was set up by Mark Bartra for that. It was one he really couldn't miss. And then after that, he was right back into the swing of things and, you know, got that fine second goal. And, you know, we must say as well, credit to Alex Song for picking him out, because that was a delicious pass from a player who's been often maligned, but who's kind of slowly finding his feet again under Tata Martino.
I was going to say, Alex Song is somebody that doesn't receive too much praise in Spanish football. When we're talking about January transfer windows and possible departures and possible arrivals, how many of these Barca players are kind of certain to be sticking around for the final part of the season? Are we going to see Tata Martino change up this squad too much at all in January?
I think he's happy with the squad he has. You can see that a key feature with Martino that, you know, wasn't the case under Tito Villanova, and to a lesser extent wasn't the case under Guardiola, is his willingness to rotate players. He's happy to take Messi off after 60 minutes in a game if the game is won, which you could never imagine happening under the previous two managers. And everybody's getting a game, you know, everybody's happy. We've seen... because of injuries, Alexis and Pedro have got more game time than they would have perhaps gotten otherwise, and they've seized the opportunity. I really don't see too many departures. There's been a lot of talk about Christian Teo to Liverpool, which the club has already gone on the record and said that won't happen. There's been some rumours of Pedro to Arsenal, which has just been, for my mind, paper talk. Perhaps the only departure I can see happening on loan from the team in this transfer window will be Isaac Cuenca, but I mean... Cuenca is not exactly the kind of name that's going to have the big boys in Europe queuing up to get his signature. As and I say that with all the respect, as good as a player he is.
I mean, one of the things about Barca in the last few years, there has been almost like a solid stable of players that have been together for so long. They're facing a new test, obviously, able to get past Getafe in the Copa del Rey comfortably in the end last night. But in the league, they face a new test in terms of not just Real Madrid, but Atletico Madrid as well. And their season continues going almost from strength to strength, the one-all draw away from home in the Copa del Rey in this week. The game coming up this weekend, how much of, not a title decider, but how influential to the title race is this game?
It's going to be absolutely massive, and of course it's worth noting that when these two sides played in the Spanish Super Cup at the start of the season, there was literally nothing between them. It went down to away goals. I believe Atleti did such a good job of stifling Barca in the second leg that I think I'm correct in saying they didn't have a single shot on target. Leo Messi missed a penalty that night. And it's, you know, these are the two big contenders. Real are there waiting in the wings, hoping that there'll be, you know, someone takes points off the other or even a draw. You know, it's a win-win situation for Real Madrid this weekend ahead of those, ahead of that clash between the top two. But, you know, having said for so long this season that, you know, it's foolish to talk about the title, we've had a little bit more talk of that sort of thing from Simeone recently, even though he's kind of gone back on things he said then and said, no, you know, too early to talk about the title again. He's a bit wary of getting caught up in those sorts of shenanigans. But, you know, you look at this, it gives Atletico the opportunity to go top on their own for the first time this season. And, you know, the thing is, too, that if the league becomes very tight, continues to remain very tight there at the top, head-to-head records are the deciding factor, not goal difference. So that could be crucial this season. Indeed, Barcelona, it's only what, 7-6? It's only 7 years ago that Barcelona failed to win the league because of their inferior head-to-head with Real Madrid, despite having a much better goal difference, and that came down to the last day as well. And of course, these two sides will meet on the last day of the season.
In terms of, and I don't want to go back to Lionel Messi all the time here, but obviously his return is obviously a big part of this Barca side. Do you get the feeling that he is fit from what you saw to play 90 minutes on the weekend, or will he have to be used sparingly again, returning, obviously missed the Elche game, but still returning so early back from injury?
Yeah, I get the impression that the club have taken a lot of care in the handling of this injury. They've learned a lot from the situation last season where he kept having recurrences or secondary injuries based on his initial injury, and it really spoiled Barcelona's season towards the end. He wasn't fit for the Bayern Munich game, and you know they looked absolutely lost without him. I mean, I've said it already that the positive step we've seen this season is the team getting by without Messi. In fact, it's a curious statistical quirk, but they've actually scored more per game without him than they have with him in the side now. I wouldn't read too much into that other than just to say the team has adapted to his absence. But in terms of this injury, they were very keen not to rush him back, not to panic. They looked at the fixture list, they looked at the injury to the extent, they looked at a time frame to get him back, and they decided it was realistic to get him back for this Atletico game. And you know, even though there, you know, some people might have liked to have seen him come back in the Elche game, I think it was entirely correct of Tata Martino not to take any chances. And he got that half-hour run out last night. And, you know, even a half-hour run out where he just gets to feel his way back into the game would have been great. But, you know, to go and score those two goals, you know, that's just sending a message loud and clear that Messi's ready to go.
Are they stronger now, having survived a reasonably long spell without Messi, this Barca side as well? Because, as you say, they have scored more goals without Messi there per game, and they've not seemingly missed too much of a beat. Is this side, has it answered its critics about being Messi orientated and dominated, and is it also almost more confident, the fact that they know they can do it without Messi?
I think psychologically it must have had a huge impact on the team and the players, you know, that they've managed to pull through this spell so strongly. I think, again, credit, you know, a man who's had his critics about the style of play, various other things in the Catalan press, is Tata Martino, because he's had an extra degree of flexibility about him. Whereas in past seasons, Barca had very much, you know, I don't like going down the whole line of plan B and all that kind of stuff, but they had a very set style of play, and the style of the team was set up to, you know, naturally to suit Lionel Messi being the world's best player. But they've shown willingness this season to try a few different things in attack. They've used diagonal long balls forward through the wings quite a lot. That drew criticism, but that's actually benefited players like Pedro and especially Alexis Sanchez, who really tends to need that kind of space to run into. And I think just, you know, Martino, he won the championship in Argentina with Newell's, playing a very attacking, you know, short passing 4-3-3 game, which was very similar to Barcelona's style. But he also managed Paraguay in the last World Cup and the last Copa America, playing a very defensive style. So we know that he's a coach that has more to his repertoire than just a single style. He's looked at the players he has, he's set the team up accordingly. But they seem to have that little bit of flexibility where they can go into games now without Messi, or trying something a little bit different, and, you know, maybe having a little bit less possession and playing a little bit more direct. And, you know, a little bit of unpredictability is always good, because, as you correctly said, the team last season, you know, we don't want to obviously say too much about Tito Villanova because of his unfortunate problems. But, you know, he was away for a long while and the team seemed to be on autopilot. And when they needed to change things, there wasn't quite the authority at the club to make those changes. And, you know, we've seen Tata Martino making subtle changes to the style, and that's ultimately got to benefit them going into the business end of the Champions League.
Talking of business, I do want to get onto Real Madrid, but in just a second, because there's plenty of business surrounding Atletico Madrid and whether they're going to be able to keep a number of their talents over this January transfer window. Plenty of people looking at Koke and Diego Costa. Do we see changes? Obviously, it's unlikely there's going to be any big moves before the game this weekend, but do we see changes throughout January of the makeup of this Atletico side, or will they be able to hold on to their talent considering that they are still joint level on top of La Liga with Barca?
Yeah, I think the fact that they're in there very much with a shout of winning the title, and that they're, you know, well placed to advance in the Champions League, that's a crucial factor here. There's paper talk of English clubs looking to buy Diego Costa, but I mean, my understanding is that he's privately intimated to Diego Simeone that he's not going anywhere. He really bought into Simeone's project. Simeone told him in the summer that now with Falcao all the way, that he was going to be the number one guy for them, basically, and he's responded magnificently. Again, with Koke, he's been linked with Manchester United, a player who could surely step in and improve on United's midfield. But again, you know, people take a very cynical view of footballers at times, thinking that it's all about money. But money reflects status, and the greatest reflection of status is success. And this Atletico side are primed for success at the moment. They've recently taken on the Argentine player Jose Sosa, who used to play for Napoli and Bayern. They've taken him on from a Ukrainian side. And that's very much a player to bolster the squad, to give them additional options. But, you know, I think there's a really good atmosphere around the club. And one fantastic thing about Atletico this season is that they have real options from the bench. You know, you could argue that at times this season their bench has had more game changers on it than Real and Barca, which is, you know, saying something about the way that Simeone's managed the squad. You know, particularly at a club where they've gone through so many tumultuous times in the past.
I suppose for Atletico, the second half of the season, is there a choice that they have to make, or is it very much, well, we're in the Champions League, we're still in the Copa del Rey, and we're joint top with La Liga. Shall we just enjoy it, or is there going to be a serious decision of we will push all of our eggs into, say, the La Liga basket to try and win this La Liga for the first time in a very long time?
Yeah, I think there was a Madrid-based journalist put a similar question to one of the players before Christmas, you know, saying perhaps exiting the Copa del Rey might aid them in the title challenge and the push for the Champions League. But, you know, he was just given a look and a straightforward answer that there's no way Diego Simeone would countenance anything like that. This is a man who's very great belief in his squad, instills great belief in his squad. And he's going to be in every competition to win it until the very last.
Finally, we need to go across to Los Blancos, and their search for La Decima will continue, of course, in February when the Champions League returns. But in the meantime, they have been able to lock down at least Xavi Alonso in that holding midfield role. And in terms of big signings, what does this do for Madrid's stability in the heart of the pitch?
It's absolutely vital. In the earlier points of the season, they really... You could really see what you know, what his absence, you know, the effect that the absence had on the team, because He's the man through whom everything passes. He's the man who sprays those diagonal balls out to Cristiano Ronaldo and, of course, now Gareth Bale. And the uncertainty, you know, should they lose a player like him at the end of the season? He's going on 33 now, I think, but showing no signs of slowing down. The injuries he suffered haven't been anything to do with age. They've been contact injuries. And, you know, it's very, very hard to replace a player like Xabi Alonso, a player so crucial to the way they set up. And you could say, you know, to use an old cliche, it's as good as a new signing, because I know now that they have this guy locked down until 2 years' time. And, you know, hopefully in that time, Iara Mendy, who arrived for a lot of money in the summer, can mature into a similar sort of player, but under the guidance of Xabi Alonso.
A little bit of hot water for Madrid in terms of Di Maria. And sounds almost like Tia Maria, that Di Maria. Di Maria and his gesture as he was substituted on the weekend. Are there going to be serious repercussions? We've obviously seen peculiar gestures in the past. I remember a certain incident when Jose Antonio Reyes scored and somebody put it, made a very awkward celebration with him back in the day. But is Di Maria going to face serious repercussions by his kind of Michael Jackson crotch grab-esque gesture?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, he's obviously denied that he was making a gesture to the crowd. He said he was trying to make himself more comfortable. Now, make of that what you will. I'd be on the side saying that he was making a gesture, but, you know, the question really has been that Real have said they were going to investigate the matter further, but now I see that Ancelotti said in his last press conference that, for as far as he's concerned, and there's no case to answer. So it looks like perhaps this one isn't going to go anywhere after all.
And just finally, Joseph, I know we're running out of time. We do need to let you get back and down to work and down to business. But I need to ask you about the kind of the really nice stories that we've seen in Spanish football at the moment. The resurgence of Villarreal up there in sixth, and Athletic Bilbao as well up there in fourth at the moment in La Liga. Of all the stories that have surprised us slightly in a positive manner, and of course I want to avoid Real Betis and their fall down onto the bottom of the La Liga table, which one do you see maintaining momentum through the second half of this season as we head to the latter stages?
I think Sevilla are primed to do well, better than they've done in previous seasons. They're not too far off the Champions League places. They seem to have got a little bit more about them. They seem to have the squad settled, and most importantly, because this was a problem extending back over a year, They hadn't won a game away from home, and now they've won several games on the road, which kind of gets that monkey off their back. And of course, a lot will come down to whether they can keep hold of Ivan Rakitic, who again has been linked with English clubs, who's been an absolutely fantastic player since he joined 3 years ago from Schalke, but probably wasn't at his best last season. But he's been created more chances than any other player in La Liga this season. He's been on top form. He's been scoring goals, and he's been really, you know, helping get the most out of the players around him. So I think Sevilla is a side to watch, but I suppose you could say it's not a fairy story because they were there last season. But Real Sociedad looked off the pace not so long ago. Their Champions League campaign was a disaster. Their manager had departed to France, you know, replaced by a managerial novice from inside the club. But with their win over Bilbao at the weekend, they've gone within a point of them in fourth place, or rather within a point of fourth place. And Bilbao, when I look at Sociedad, I see the potential for goal scoring in the Sociedad team that you just don't see at Athletic at the moment. And I've got a feeling that Real could nick that final Champions League spot. And to do that two seasons in a row, that would be real fairy tale stuff.
Who's winning the Ballon d'Or, Ronaldo, Messi or Ribery, Joseph?
I think, right, I suppose there's two questions. Who do I think should win it and who do I think will win it? Very hard to say. I can see Ronaldo's exploits this season tipping the balance, because the amount of goals he scored, the fact that he scored the most goals ever in a Champions League group stage, the hat-trick against Sweden, you know, it's supposed to be who's the best player in the whole year, but you know, we obviously know that things that have happened in the recent past can really colour judgments here. I think he deserves to win it because, with the greatest of respect to Ribery, I think Ribery was picked out as the Bayern candidate that we, you know, Bayern really, it was a real team effort. it's very hard to pick out individuals in that team, you know. And in a similar way to the vote for Spanish players after the 2010 World Cup were kind of split, allowing Lionel Messi to come ahead. You know, I see that being the reason why Ribéry is put forward. And I just don't think you can compare, you know, with the greatest of respect, the individual statistics of Ribéry. You know, I know it shouldn't be all be about goal scoring, but I think it's going to go to Ronaldo. And to be honest, I think it probably should go to Ronaldo this year because of the work he's put in.
Joseph, you're a top man as always for joining us here on World Football Daily and giving us your thoughts not only on La Liga, the Copa del Rey, and of course the Ballon d'Or decision that takes place on Monday. And we look forward very much to having you back on the show in the near future. I'm glad you had a good new year and I got a bit of a rest and a bit of respite, but back to business for you, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us, mate.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Joseph Sexton there joining us here on World Football Daily, freelance Spanish and European football journalist. You can follow Joseph on Twitter at Joseph SBCN. That's Joseph SBCN. All one word, all lowercase.